You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hey, good Tuesday afternoon, H-Town. Partly cloudy skies as I spin the weather wheel and look outside. It's been nice, no humidity. After a Monday with Travis Johnson, we are on the Tuesday schedule, and my man Barry Laminex in studio with me, Nick Sharara behind the glass, and we are ready to talk whatever you guys want to talk about from 1 until 3 o'clock today, until Dave Dilotti joins us for some more diamonds in the rough, so to speak, baseball talk, and at least baseball season is heating up with postseason upon us starting tonight. We'll get to that later, but at least for two of us, I don't know about the rest of you, we're a little bit excited about baseball playoffs, which start tonight. But Barry, good to see you. Hope the weekend was good. And before we go any further on anything about your Texans take, which I want to get, let's talk about the most pertinent information, which was last night's snoozer of a game, but also a game that was very important to Texans fans because those purple people eaters are going to be present next week or this coming week for your Texans.
I tell you what, man, you better fear, if you're a Texans fan or a team member, you had better fear the Minnesota Vikings defense, right? That was a show. And I need to go back and look at what they've been giving up week in and week out, but 10 points, they shut down Odell Beckham. Less than 100 yards rushing, 78 yards total rushing. That was a clinic, man. That Vikings defense, you know, when we were doing our pre-show meeting, you and Jong were arguing that they're not as good as Denver. And I don't know about that.
Here's the thing.
I don't know.
You said fear. Yeah. I don't think any NFL team should fear another team's defense. Oh. I don't think that they're on the level because of the fact that Denver has two lockdown corners. They have two of the best one-on-one corners in the business, so therefore you don't have to double-team receivers. But I will say this. What Xavier Rhodes did, because, obviously the Packers play him twice a year. They already lost Sunday, but they were in a good game, even though Rodgers played like crap. But in the process, Xavier Rhodes didn't play either. So I'll give that to the Minnesota side. But in looking at them, the other side, if you look at Terrence Newman and his 86-year-old legs, as I called them, and if you're the Giants, that's on you, the fact that, yeah, maybe ODB is on lockdown, but the fact that you can't get Cruz and Shepard open and off and capitalizing on the fact that Terrence Newman, whether you play zone or man, can't stay with anyone, that's on them. That's why I'm not ready to say, I'm not saying it's not a very, very good defense. I just don't think I'm ready to anoint them yet as one of the best defense. I mean, look, Denver in my mind is the best defense in football with or without DeMarcus Ware.
Okay, well, you're entitled to be incorrect. Right. That's fine.
Oh, I can be incorrect. I got you.
Listen, the Vikings are 4-0, and they're doing this with rushing, averaging like 2.5 yards a carry is what they're averaging?
The opponents?
No, the Vikings.
No, they're not rushing at all.
Yeah, at all. They're averaging their rush attack, the Vikings rush attack,
right,
is less than 3 yards a carry. So Sam Bradford is not lighting up passing wise. He's being efficient. He's managing his turnovers and you know, the game well. But this is all 100%. This people are talking about the Super Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings, and it has nothing to do with the offense. It is you are looking at the Baltimore Ravens-esque defense, a last year's Denver Broncos defense. In that, they can carry this team to the Super Bowl with an average to below average offense. I'm not obviously comparing them to the Ravens.
I thought that was the end of the statement, so I was going to get on that. But at the same time, and looking at it, and I'll give it to you, because we talked about guys that are game managers. Because like yesterday, what I said was, Texans are still trying to figure out what they got in Brock Osweiler. And the more you look at Marcus Mariota, you're looking at two guys in the same boat where they got all the talent in the world. You're just trying to figure out if they can figure it out. But from the standpoint of Sam Bradford, the biggest thing I say about the Minnesota Vikings is they don't turn the ball over. Sam has mastered, at least in this new environment in Minnesota, game manager extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. He doesn't try to do too much. You know, we all know that Diggs has been on fire, but he didn't have to go to him too often, and he really didn't use him for the first half of the game. But the same thing is, he's not turning it over. They're not fumbling it. They're not throwing picks. They're not giving it up in special teams. So they're doing everything to let their defense dictate it, as opposed to other quarterbacks that will or will not be nameless, that are setting it up to be more difficult for their defense because of the fact they're kicking out. Same thing with Denver. The reason why, starting with Simeon, but the reason why the Broncos are so successful on defense, look, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Vikings defense. The Broncos are the same way. As long as they don't turn it over and they just manage the game on offense, their defense can do a lot of things to win the game. They did it against Tampa Bay. Akeem Talib had two picks.
Yeah. I'm still not convinced that the Vikings aren't the best defense in the league. I mean, again, the Broncos have had success on offense. This Vikings team is really not doing anything on offense.
CJ Anderson has been he's never been, you know, look, they've took their shots in the draft trying to get a go-to tailback. They haven't done that. CJ Anderson from time to time steps up. They do have two big-time receivers, but I'm not going to say that they're – I mean, look, with Peyton Manning, when Peyton Manning was as healthy as he's been since the neck surgery, then you can say, yeah, because of his audibles, because the way he utilizes everything in his toolbox, that he utilized the weapons, they did some things on offense. But I still think – I mean, overall, first, we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Travis, but this is something that you and I can get into a little bit more. I looked at the Broncos this year, didn't give them a shot to be undefeated to start this late in the season because I looked at their offense and went, they have no one behind center that can move that team up and down the field or get them into position to score. And John Elway, who keeps laughing at what Brock Osweiler is getting paid and what he's doing on Kirby, to his credit, has utilized his system with Gary Kubiak to basically say, we can take whoever we want, put him behind center, we're going to be all right.
Yeah. So the Vikings are playing with a backup quarterback, essentially. They went into the season with Teddy Bridgewater. Although I guess you could say that Bradford would be a starter.
He would be a starter somewhere.
No, yeah. Okay. Maybe not. He probably, you think he would still be a starter in Philly if he had stayed?
Looking at it now, no. But, I mean, I think that because of the money, some general managers would say that, you know, you let the young guy, just like Elway did to some degree when he tried to get Sanchez, but then giving it to Simeon right away is basically saying, or just like the Rams did with Case Keenum, we're not going to throw a kid into the fire too soon where if he takes too much of a beating, a la David Carr, or just fails early on that it could kill his confidence. But, I mean, from my standpoint, I think Sam Bradford starts somewhere in the NFL because it's never been a knock on ability. It's been a knock on his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah, but think about this though. So they're playing with a backup running back, a backup quarterback, essentially, and their best offensive player, the best player on their team on offense, arguably is Kyle Rudolph.
I think it's Diggs.
I don't know. I mean, look, Rudolph is their go to. I mean, anytime that if you look at where they're making their money on offense is through Kyle Rudolph. Everything is funneling through that guy.
Well, you're the Daryl Morey of comedy, though. So for when you like to look at numbers, going into last night's game, Diggs' numbers said this guy's a premier receiver, and he's kicking the crap out of whoever he plays against. But last night, as I kind of touched on it, he just didn't get off, and they whether they used him as a decoy or the Giants, you know, were doubling him, but he didn't do what he had done in the first couple weeks. But I mean, well, for the first couple weeks,
he's been
knocking it out of the park. He killed the Packers on Monday night. I mean, on Sunday night.
Well, maybe that's why you think he's the
I looked at it up close and personal for a guy that had 140 or 50 yards receiving. You're like, whoa! I mean, this guy is up and coming, and he's there.
He's up and coming.
I'm not taking anything away from Rudolph. I like Rudolph, but I think that if you look at with Peterson out, if you say who's their biggest weapon, I'm gonna say Diggs. We can agree to disagree. Yeah. Nick, would you like to chime in?
I mean, I think Diggs, I don't have the box score in front of me, but it did look like that Diggs was not targeted as much in this game. And it did look like Rudolph was the guy that the quarterback favorite, in my opinion, from last game. But I didn't really watch the game against the Packers that much.
So Diggs has 372 yards
this season.
25 catches. I don't have the targets in front of me. I can look that up. Rudolph has 19 catches for 221 yards. So there's a significant, there's over 100 yards difference, 150 yards. But the key is that Rudolph has three touchdowns to Diggs' one. And that's what I mean. They're funneling when it gets down. It's just like when they go, I mean, McKinnon is their every down back. But when they get inside the red zone, when they get inside the 5-yard line, they go to Asiata because that's that thunder and lightning combination. But he's going to get the majority of the looks at the goal line. I think Rudolph is the same thing. If they need a first down, who are they going to? You think they're going to Diggs or are they going to Rudolph?
Oh, I think they're going to look at both of them because I think Diggs, because of his speed, especially right off the snap, creates so much space that they and the D-backs have to respect him by giving him a little bit of a pad that he is open quickly when you just need a first down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the funny thing is I got on all this to say that if we're talking about Kyle Rudolph and Diggs, right? We're talking about Rudolph and Diggs as their best two players, arguably. When you look over at the Broncos and they have Anderson, they have Thomas, and they have Sanders. So they have, at least Simeon has someone to throw to and hand the ball off to. I mean, with McKinnon and Asiata, they're okay. They're not great backs, though. I mean, they're all right, though. Well, so I think offensively, Denver has more to work with, even though they've got a unproven quarterback. But to me, the difference is that defense, man. The Vikings are carrying this team, and they could carry this team far into the playoffs.
There you have it. Barry's already predicted a huge victory for the Vikings over the Texans, and we'll get back. No, honestly, though, we have so much more to talk about, especially from that game's perspective, because it's a unique opportunity to talk about a team that the Texans will face this week. So we can talk about that. But also, did you catch in the game with the Texans? We got since we've rated broadcasters, we got the Z team. With Adam Archuleta, who said, to Barry's point that he just made about having a thunder and lightning combination in Minnesota, he said, well, the Texans have that, and their thunder is blue.
Oh, God.
And we would agree to disagree. ESPN 97.5 FM. I want to get away. I want to
fly away. Yeah. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank, Nick Sharara, and we got Barry and other low-hanging fruit as we get into segment number two of what's going to be only 2 hours today because of Dave Dilotti.
Still doing that show?
Yeah, at least for this
it's
week.
It's over, right? Is this kind of the recap?
Over, Johnny. Over.
Yeah, it's kind of the tombstone on the Astros season show. And is this it? Is he going to play like somber funeral home music?
I don't know. Maybe a look ahead to 2017.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know.
Stab
Tell you
me.
What, Barry and I can cover that now. One segment later in the show, and then Dave can have the day off. We can do that if you want. Before the break, we were talking about the thunder and lightning combination of Miller and blue in a Texans uniform because of bad announcing. And we were also talking about the impressive nature in which the Minnesota Vikings have gone about their business this season, kind of unexpected, even though they were a bad field goal kick from a short distance away from advancing to the NFC Championship game a year ago. You look at Blair Walsh, and he may be the only weakness that the Vikings have right now, and that's something to be said when you know that Ryan Khalil, their all-pro caliber tackle, is out. You also know that Adrian Peterson is out. You know that Teddy Bridgewater's already gone, but Sam Bradford has stepped in nicely. But that's all offensively. Barry touched on it. We started talking about it, but let's talk about the defense, because not only has it been a staunch defense in the past, but they were playing good defense this year, and they were doing so without one of their best corners. They got him back. Xavier Rhodes played last night.
Yeah.
And boy, did they get him back in a hurry. It made for must-see TV right away as he and ODB, Odell Beckham Jr., were locked up all night long, both inbounds, out of bounds, and everywhere in between.
Yeah, and he has done something that I think people are starting to pick up on, and that's realize you can get under Odell Beckham Jr.'s skin real easily.
Soaking a kicking net.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude needs to focus on one fight at a time. Yes. I don't understand what has happened to him, but he used to be the darling of the NFL. I mean, making his little fancy one-handed catches and warm-ups, and you know, and then it transferred into the game a little bit, and he became kind of everybody's poster child of the fun and exciting, you know, future of the NFL. And now he's just a big damn crybaby. He's always upset, and I don't know what his deal is, but that dude, he needs to take a step back and relax. I think that the popularity and the expectations have become too much for him, because if you're going to be one of the best, this is going to happen. You're going to get picked on. You're going to get bumped out of bounds a little bit. But he almost lost it. I mean, he got another personal foul. He was very close to getting thrown out. Eli had a quote where he was talking about, yeah, man, he's got to do better. He said something to the effect of he's kind of brought this on himself, so he's going to have to realize that, no doubt. You can't afford those penalties. So, dude, it's amazing that the descent for this guy has been pretty swift when you consider that he was the top of his game. And I'm not saying he's bad, but he's trending down, and he's not doing himself any favors from a PR perspective.
And you know what? It magnified last year with the Josh Norman fight.
Yeah.
And that thing got way out of hand, right? Yeah. But that was fun to watch. But then you look forward to it last week. And as we touched on just a little bit, but he first of all blew the tantrum of a four-year-old.
Yep.
Then he decides to take a physical altercation with a kicking net in which he got at least lost the first round.
He did.
Right. Whether you call it on points or a technical knockout.
Yeah, it was definitely a TKO.
He definitely took a melon shot in retaliation when the kicking net had had enough.
Which, by the way, there's nothing worse than when you're angry and you do that.
Back in your face,
you
like
throw
that.
A hissy fit, yeah. And then something happens where you hurt yourself again. There's nothing worse than that.
I think inevitably your family jewels are bruised and damaged more often in tirades like that, yes, than at any other time. Like you kick a ball or you spike a ball because you're ticked off, and the thing, almost without question, is coming back in your grapes.
Yeah, it is going to find you.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. But okay, so but he comes back from that little mishap with the kicking net and his emotions, still has a buck 20, I think, in receiving yards, comes back with a decent game. But now that's just another file card in his long list of, I'm starting to be a prima donna.
Yeah.
I'm becoming more of like, not Terrell Owens in terms of his statistics, but Terrell Owens because of his antics. And I think that that's somebody that believes the hype too quickly a lot of times. But again, last night, and again, because it's national TV and the ISO cameras are all over not only the matchup, but every step you take when you're off the field, it was a distraction. And, you know, his coach, Ben McAdoo, came from the Packers system, but he's not a known guy. So, unfortunately, it seems to me like the inmates are starting to run the asylum already, because McAdoo said, we can't afford to have that. That's not going to happen anymore. And he said, look, I'm targeted, but I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to stop. So, last night, he started the woe is me thing, which... The double negative is when you act like a baby and then you start the victim talk, you're not going to win any fans in a hurry unless you're in New York. And I'm pretty sure New York fans are starting to turn on a little bit. But he said, it's just my fault. That's all I look at it as. It's my fault. Whatever you want to call it, I just have to understand if I sneeze the wrong way, it'll be a flag. It'll be a fine. If I tie my shoes the wrong way, it might be a fine or a flag. It is what it is. You have to understand that. No, it's really not, because you can change that climate. You can dictate how that is looked at, but you choose to take the victim card and then then get yourself a box of Kleenex and go in the corner when you've brought all the attention on yourself, every other thing you've done.
That's just it. You can't go around craving the attention and then get mad when you get it. If you want to be, or people to think you are, the best wide receiver in the game, then you're going to get doubled. You're going to get bumped a lot. You're going to get shoved after the play. And everyone, even people that have never played know that the person that shoves first usually doesn't get the flag. So you've got to be smart enough to not be the second guy that gets caught and flagged and penalized and now playing one penalty away from getting ejected. You just can't do that, especially if you're a superstar and your team needs you. And he's lost it. To me, you can tell it. Well, I say you can tell. It looks to me as though once that starts to happen, he loses focus, and it's now more about getting the last shove or the biggest shove as opposed to channeling that to benefit his play on the field.
So you look at that, and then let's spin back a little bit because I want to get Barry's Texans take as well. So the fact that DeAndre Hopkins isn't ODB, but DeAndre Hopkins is less than jazzed about the way the game went against the Titans and the fact that you know that the guy that's been getting all the accolades is Will Fuller. So if you're DeAndre Hopkins and you know what they did last week and you also know what you went through and you now know that Xavier Rhodes is staring you right in the face mask come next weekend or this coming weekend, what do you foresee happening? That's a question we'll ask you. That's a question we'll ask Barry, and we'll get his response in just a minute. But if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, or you can reach out on Twitter. We are at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K behind the glass, at No Hit Nick. And by the way, get on the website or go to ESPN975.com. You can listen live while you're at work and or you can download that app. Put that app on your phone. Use it in your Bluetooth if you don't drive a hoopty like Nick. And you can listen to us anywhere, anytime. We can fit in your suitcase, your wallet, your pocket, where Barry likes it up front. And we'll talk to you in just a bit. ESPN975 FM.
ESPN. 97.5.
Welcome to Bruce Boarhead Radio, where we bang our heads in commercial breaks, getting ready for more sports action. Live for one night, one night only, White Lion with special guest Def Leppard. No, it's actually Barry and Joel up until 3 o'clock with Nick behind the glass. We opened up a can of worms, so for some of you, we've opened up a topic that you guys want to talk about. That is not only the Purple People Eater Part 2, 2.0 Minnesota Vikings defense, which features a guy named Xavier Rhodes who had his way with ODB, now looking DeAndre Hopkins in the face this week with the Texans taking on the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings undefeated. The Texans 3-1.
I heard them. You said Purple People Eaters. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody last night call them the Purple Rain. Are we really going to do that too?
I think that's more
that was ridiculous
to the Purple Man himself.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I guess in the new building.
But that's just stupid. Purple Rain ain't hurt nobody.
Who was that? Was it John Gruden?
No, it was Sean McDonough, dude John Gruden hates. Which, by the way,
but you can tell they
hate
each other.
Gruden needs to settle down. Last night during the game, he had a call where he goes, "That's Asiata. That's the biggest first down of that young man's life." Dude, just chill. It's a first down. Could we please pump the brakes?
Is it not obvious, though? Barry and I were talking about in break. Those two guys hate each other. Well as Gruden loved Mike Tirico, when Tirico exited stage left, I don't think Gruden had Sean McDonough on the top of his list because he gives him the Chucky face on steroids about 6 to 8 times a game where he's like, you know, and he just wants to rip his head off.
It was never more evident than when they were demonstrating how he uses the foam noodle to hit the quarterbacks while they're dropping back. Mm-hmm. So Sean McDonough's holding the ball, and the ball was like 10 times. It looks just huge in McDonough's little tiny hands. And he's standing there, and he's just literally standing still. And Gruden just starts whipping him with this noodle. And it was not a little like tap. Like, he's literally as hard as he can.
You know where we just went?
What?
Back to bathroom talk with
whipping him with a noodle
and with the noodle and the balls in his hand.
But he did.
I mean, we just went right to the toilet.
No,
again.
You did. We did.
Raheel came in and with hot water. But he actually just opened the studio door and without soap, he was coming in with hot water. He thought he was on cue to be in another discussion.
But yeah, there was that, and then another time he was talking about something, and out of nowhere, Gruden goes, "Yeah, I'll hit you." I was like, "Wow, he is aggressive." He does not like that, dude.
Every time they're on the screen with the monitor wall behind them and whatever they were referring
to. That's what he was doing.
Then it's ready, like it's like an MMA pre-fight. You should just let him go nose to nose. And basically, Gruden, for once in his life, would be looking down on someone because Sean McDonough is
he's
smaller.
Such a tiny dude.
But it's like, oh my God, they hate each other.
Yeah.
But then, it's harder to listen to. At least you kind of like the camaraderie that Tirico had with Gruden, and that's gone. But I mean, from the standpoint of the game itself, even though it was a boring game, you had to stick with it because of the fact, you know, the Texans are going to face this Vikings team. And again, they mentioned during the game that there's a lot of things dedicated in Sean McDonough's eyes in that building to Prince. By the way, their color is purple.
Yeah.
Like when the Timberwolves did it, that's an homage.
Yeah.
When the Vikings do it, it's their team colors, my friend. Just be because it's purple, their team colors, not purple, Prince's favorite color.
Yeah, well, like, just saying. Well, I'm sure the Vikings were around for a lot longer, and they were purple for a lot longer than Prince was alive. Maybe that's where Prince, his fascination with purple came from. I don't know.
It's a good point. Possibly could be.
Yeah.
So. Hey, we got a lot of people chiming in on Twitter. We got a lot of people chiming in on calls. You guys want to talk about what happened last night and what to look forward to this weekend between the Texans and the Minnesota Vikings? Let's go to Wesley in a tight race between Wesley and John. Wesley looks like he is number one on our list. You want to talk about ODB or OBJ, excuse me.
Okay, yes. About the Odell Beckham Jr. deal, I understand that, he needs to chill. But if you look at the last two games, this is just my opinion, and I'm not an expert or nothing. But in my opinion, Eli Manning lost both of those games. Because in both of those games, in the end, he had the ball in his hands, and he threw the interceptions, and no one is talking about that. I understand he's a two-time the Super Bowl winner, but he's not playing like that this year. And I think that most of the blame should go on Eli Manning. I'll shut up and listen.
You don't have to shut up, my man. You can just listen. Wesley, we appreciate the call, man. Here's my take on that.
That's
Barry,
the first
you
time I've ever heard somebody like get off the call. I'll shut up and listen. He told himself to shut up.
Well, here, I'll hang up and listen.
We had people yesterday that not only wouldn't shut up and listen, but they called back for their second call of the day. And then when we told them you were already on once, they said, but I'll hold just so I can listen.
No, we won't allow that.
No. So, Wesley, to my first gut reaction to that is exactly what I was talking about in our pre-show meeting. I don't blame Eli Manning most. I believe it's a Bill O'Brien versus George Godsey thing. Whoever the offensive coordinator is, if you've got three best receivers on any one team in the NFL, and that's what the graphic was behind him when they were talking the first time they went face-to-face in front of the monitor. Mm-hmm. But he made sure to point out between the rookie Shepard and Cruz and OBJ that they were the best trio in the NFL. So Xavier Rhodes takes away one. Well, as an offensive coordinator or a head coach who used to be an offensive coordinator, in McAdoo's case, make the adjustment. And whether you make it to start the game or what everybody does at halftime when you go in the locker room, make the damn adjustment and say, okay, they're taking him out of the game. So if 13's out of the game, let's find 87 on a guy who has 86-year-old legs, Terrence Newman. But they didn't do it. So I don't blame Eli as much as I blame the coaching staff. But at the end of the day, if Eli is even close to what his brother is in terms of audibling at the line, take the bull by the horns, my man. Mix it up a little bit.
Well, I think, first of all, when you only get 78 yards rushing, that creates a problem. That lets you know where the problem is up front. The Giants didn't have enough to be able to handle that front seven of the Vikings. And Eli at times looked like he was in a race for his life. I mean, the pocket didn't hold up for very long. How many times did you see him just have to throw the ball at the foot of a running back just to get the play over with?
At least twice.
Yeah, and there
annoys the hell out of
there me. Was a missed screen where the back didn't even know he was supposed to be running being a screenplay. I don't necessarily blame Eli. I mean, Eli is not the quarterback he used to be by any stretch of the imagination. But he to me, that defense just made the Giants' entire offense look bad, and they've done it all year to people. So it's nothing new. I just when your stars like Odell Beckham Jr. don't step up, he had three catches for 23 yards. That's to me, that's not on Eli. That ODB took himself out of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say that's on him.
Yeah, and then 78 yards rushing is pathetic. That's the O-line. That's not Eli.
So the gamesmanship that he seems to like and feed off of that he got from Josh Norman twice in less than a year time frame, he let it go too far last night. Because then he was the show instead of the game itself. He was concentrating more on trying to get back under the skin of a guy who obviously got to him on the sidelines, and every chance the ball was dead and Rhodes was up in his grill or yanking at him or in his ear. He was so focused on that he wasn't focused on getting open. So I see that. But the other thing is, for all the things that you talk about with the line, Manning was not even sacked or knocked down until late in the first half, but yet their offensive play calling was constantly just either a delayed handoff to the middle of the line or a straight handoff into the middle of the line or a panicked. Again, nothing annoys me more than when the quarterback throws a laser beam at the shoelaces of a running back, especially in the pocket in between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that several times too, and I'm going, man, what are you guys doing offensively when you have these three receivers?
But I think you're also probably not giving enough credit to the Vikings secondary. I mean, they played well. They played well. So I don't know, man. I think I think Eli did the best with what he had. You had a guy. And speaking of Odell Beckham Jr., he likes it. Like he liked it when he was getting the best of Josh Norman.
Mm-hmm.
But when that gets reversed, boy, he can't handle that.
And when the shoe's on the other
foot,
he's
not mentally stable enough to be able to just play through it. So I think that affected him. But yeah, I don't necessarily blame Eli for that loss last night. There was a lot that went wrong. I give the credit to the Vikings defense, not as much the blame to Eli.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, when the shoe's on the other foot, he ain't even moonwalking or tap dancing. I mean, he's just absolutely taking it in the shorts. So that's something that you got to be aware of. And we know that John wants to talk about the matchup between DeAndre Hopkins and Xavier Rhodes and those Purple People Eater reigning,
whatever,
anointed best defense in the NFL by Barry kind of guys.
Hey,
that we'll talk about
truth
and more, because we are ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack on a Tuesday in H-Town as we kick it around a little bit for 2 hours instead of three today before we turn it over to David Bilotti at 3 p.m. And we've been talking a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings, a little bit about the Giants, a little bit about the fact that the Vikings are the Texans' opponent come this weekend. And I'm going to go with the fact that our crack staff behind the scenes in the intern department who can't seem to spell right. And we offended a woman yesterday.
What'd y'all do?
It said Ronnie, or Roni. So I brought it in as either Ronnie or Roni, and she goes, my name is Bobby. And I went, oh, no.
Bobby like Tenderoni.
I said we really have to apologize because someone misspelled it. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with what's on the board right now. Because after the ninth day, we became 10th. Tenneth, you want to talk about Eli Manning? Feel free to correct the interns if they did get your name wrong.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, guys. I love your show, by the way. And not take too much away from the Vikings, but are we not putting enough on Eli? I mean, if he's not willing to scramble and make a play, he was either dropping back three steps, throwing it away, or just making a bad pass, throwing it away somewhere. I mean, he wasn't really willing to make a play. All they had to do was rush two and send everybody out in coverage.
Well, I think you know where I feel about this, dude. That has less to do with Eli's abilities and more to do with what the Vikings forced him to do. I mean, they dictated the pace and the play of the game the entire game. I mean, Eli, you can only throw to what's open or what's available. And if there's nothing there, you want Eli scrambling? Nah, I mean, he did the best he could do with what was available.
My take was just what we talked about before we hit the break, which is the fact that I blame the coordinator and or the head coach more than anybody else, just like Bill O'Brien and Godsey and whoever's making the play calls and pulling the trigger. I know that Eli is going to be like his brother and he's going to audible from time to time, but the fact of the matter is I'm with you. Every single play was to the middle of the line. It was run it into the line left, run it in the line right. Delayed handoff and draw into the middle of the line. Then when they tried to throw the screen pass, Eli kind of got happy feet, drilled a laser beam into someone's ankle bones. They looked like they're a mess offensively regardless. That's why I don't blame Eli as much as I blame the systematic play calling. But whoever you want to blame, they looked out of sync.
But you understand, they've got to establish the run in order to be able to pass it. And they couldn't do that. So obviously, if you don't have to respect the run, then you can do what you want to do when it comes to the passing
game. That never established the run that still aren't afraid to pass it. I mean, look, he threw 45 times, but
yeah.
I think that there's a plenty of teams out there that don't have a legitimate running game that just, you know, come out firing from the first down and say, I dare you to beat us. Like New Orleans, they have Ingram, but he's basically their short down back, you know, short yardage back and goal line back, more so than anything else. Breeze is just going to throw it 50 sometimes. That, you know that going in. I mean, I think that Eli used to be in the discussion of elite quarterbacks because of the fact that at least regardless of when he threw the ball, he was going to make the right decisions and throw the right pass. I can't say that anymore. He looks like a beat-down quarterback that looks like damaged goods.
But you got to give the Vikings defense
And I'm not
credit,
taking away anything from their defense. I've said they are right. They are above average.
But I still think the Giants could have done more, too. I mean, especially when you have a guy like – and it goes back to the Odell Beckham thing. You know, when he's on the sideline – I think at one point he was on the sideline and he was not even coordinating with Eli. I mean, I think that just completely limits the options for Eli. And I'm not completely blaming Beckham, but I just think the Giants could have done more on offense.
I mean, Eli's what, top five in yards right now in the league?
He might be, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not Eli. I mean, if he's
Yeah, I don't think it's Eli.
If he's still in the top five in total yard in passing yards, how could you say Eli fell off? He ran into a defense took away everything.
Look, yeah. If you look at what they did last year as a whole, it's not the same Eli Manning that it was when they were making runs to the Super Bowl because of the fact that he was spreading the ball around. He was doing. He looked more like he was not David Carr-esque, but he was looked like he was more concerned with getting pounded by, as you mentioned, a very subpar offensive line than he was distributing the football and making pinpoint passes. So, I mean, look, I don't think he's the Eli that he once was, but I do think that he still could be better than he's showing. And I think that the coaching staff, that's on the coaching staff to put him in the right position to call the right plays and put him in the right position to be successful. I think right now, asking him to do what he's doing and also asking him to move around in the pocket a little bit for a guy that's never been known to be mobile is just not his thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his game logs, he's got the yards passing. 207, 368, 350, 261. That puts him at fifth in the league. And his QB ratings have declined every week since week one. He went from 110 to 104 to 82 to 63. So I think, I mean, he's still a good quarterback.
I'm not saying he's not good, but I'm saying he could be better if he's put in the right position. And maybe you're right. To some degree, maybe they need more balance and they need to establish some sort of a running game. I don't know what the hell happened to Rashard Jennings, but their running game is in shambles. And, you know, what they're doing right now or trying to do ain't working. So they might want to try a different approach and find at least one guy that can tote the rock on a consistent basis just to keep the defense honest instead of just loading up, pinning back their ears and saying, Eli, here we come. Until you establish the run game, we're going to beat your head in from every angle possible.
Yeah. I mean, that and, well, you know, Jennings, I mean, Victor Cruz has fell off. ODB isn't
Victor
playing
Cruz
like
has
himself.
Had a series of injuries. He's coming back from that.
Yeah, but he's not what he used to be. I mean,
let's
face it.
Talking about the numbers. If he gets
Sterling
those numbers.
Shepard might be one of his best weapons right now.
But because you can add Shepard as a complimentary piece right now to a guy that had proven himself in the past in Cruz and an up-and-comer like Odell Beckham Jr., that's why Gruden's saying they're the best three-headed monster receiving-wise in the league, and that's why Eli should be better than even those stats indicate because of the fact that he's got so many weapons. And the other thing is, they got to find at least one guy that can be serviceable as a tailback.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So now we look at the Texans because they are not quite Eli Manning, but As I mentioned yesterday, I compared Mariota and Brock Osweiler with the differences in their pocketbook that Jason Lockenfora can worry about. I'm worried about the two different quarterbacks that have different styles because Mariota is athletic enough to get out and run. Brock's a guy that's so big and tall you don't want him to run. But both guys are still saying with all the tools in their toolbox, they have not figured out how to be a craftsman. And for Texans fans who know that this guy is supposedly now your franchise quarterback, there's still plenty to prove. And now he's going against your best defense in the NFL, the Purple Rain, Purple People Eaters. And they're going to have one Xavier Rhodes, who just got done shutting down and stifling OBJ on D-Hop. So have Will Fuller. Like I said, if Will Fuller gets Terrence Newman on him and you don't exploit that, that's on the coaching staff.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm sure that Hopkins was upset after the Titans game when he had one catch for 4 yards. And it made me think about his tweet during the draft. Ha, no more double teams. Yeah, no more targets either. Or no more catches. I mean, dude, Will Fuller is shining right now. And I don't know what they have to do to get Hopkins the ball, but I think you've got to figure out a balance there. I think that most of the blame goes to Brock and where he was putting the ball, because no one, I don't care who it is, if it's going to be a 50-50 ball, then it needs to be a 50-50 chance.
Brock just doesn't look comfortable throwing.
Most of those 50-50 balls were underthrown.
Yeah, and two of the first four targets were intercepted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
so now your confidence is shattered for one. But let's go back exactly what I'm talking about, why I'm comparing the two. But in the case of Mariota, it was because he was trying to do too much, because he was already athletic enough to get to the edge and he looked like he could have got 8 to 10 yards. But then at the last minute, he tried to make a tough across his body throw that ends up getting picked off. In Brock's case, he's 2 foot planted in the middle of the pocket and he's throwing behind guys. He had 2 picks. He should have had at least 4.
Yeah, and now that one you're talking about where Mariota scrambled out to his right.
Yep.
Scrambled out to his left. The tight end, I forget who it was, I think 82, quit on that route, though. That wasn't Mariota's fault. He threw that ball. He let him.
So exactly what I'm saying.
He let him, but the dude just stopped running. You know, when he basically is like, oh, he's got this. He's either going to run out of bounds or slide, and he didn't either. Yeah. So that's not on Mariota. That interception, that was squarely on Walker's
shoulders.
So that's
what I'm saying. Even more so for all the scrutiny that Mariota's talking about. You and I talked about it last week. Brock should be even getting more than he's getting. And armchair quarterbacks out there and armchair critics are pointing a lot of the fingers at the wrong people because of the fact that they're all worried, if Fuller's doing this, well, then why could D-Hop could do the same things? No, Will Fuller's actually quicker. He's got a lot more speed, though you can't question his hands. But I think the other thing, and maybe you're out there and you have an opinion, but do you fault the fact that DeAndre Hopkins has such great hands that Brock might be trying to force uncatchable balls towards him, thinking he will pull down the uncatchable because of how good he is? And in a negative way, it's a reflection on DeAndre Hopkins, which is tough to take.
Yeah, but those passes still have to be accurate if you're going to do that.
Even
if you're going to throw it up, he's got to have some chance.
Like Nick on the club on a Friday night, you still got to make your passes accurate. And that's why we always bring you the quickest passing in the game, and we always make sure we fit it through a little window. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Nobody do it like we do it, so show us some love. ESPN 97.5.
Oh, O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.